We're actually live. Real life live. Welcome to King of Our Nightmares. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Noah.
Sorry for the delay. Things have just been crazy in my life right now. But we're talking about Stephen King's first nonfiction, Danse Macabre, or as it's called in Germany.
As it's called, Danse Macabre, The World of Horror.
Honestly, best subtitle yet of these German ones. And this is his history of horror, the horror genre, at a time when there wasn't anything like this. So it's a novelty for that reason, but it is a humongous piece of trash. I hate this book. I really hate this book. Noah doesn't necessarily hate this book.
I mean, I read it years ago. My feelings on it are not as strong as yours. And I mean, because when I read it, I was young. Mm-hmm. It was among the first King books. I was like 14, 15 at most. And I remember vividly the chapter where he talks about like Dracula, Frankenstein, and Jekyll and Hyde.
Uh-huh.
But I was too young to like realize when he talks about like movies and different famous books, I didn't quite get all of that because I hadn't experienced that stuff yet. I didn't know yet how terrible his opinions are
on a lot of movies. Oh my God. If there's anything to take from this, there are two things to take from this. Three, if you really push it. Number one, this is his drunkest I think he's ever been.
And
yet
we have to check Cujo because himself doesn't remember writing it.
Yeah, this he even admits in one of the, if you listen to this book, they have every foreword all together and it's like a traveling back in time. He admits that he came up with this while drinking with friends and drinking with his editor. And this feels like a drunken rambling about horror. And a bit about himself, which is the most interesting part of this whole thing, is he goes into his childhood a bit. And how he encountered horror and stuff. That's interesting. None of this book is interesting in the slightest. And it is just him and his bad opinions of things. Especially every decade or so, he rewrites the foreword.
I think he stopped now.
Yeah, he stopped in 2010 because he references being excited about Zombieland. And he says that the remake of Dawn of the Dead was better than the original. Quite because it was about terrorism. The funny thing in his last foreword is he talks about after the car accident when he got ran over, which we have not talked about. He nearly died because someone ran him over on one of his morning walks. He saw the Blair Witch while on drugs, and it forever is like the scariest thing he ever saw. And I think I don't think he antiquates that with he was on drugs. But I guess he and Joe, his son Joe, watched it together in his hospital room on VHS, which I think is pretty funny. But yeah, this is so bad, Noah. It is just like, I will use an example from my personal life. The short period of time I was an art student, I had a Zoom call where I listened to a seminar from this woman whose art was showing public demonstrations on political issues in America. And she went on and on about this shit, but she was drinking bourbon. And eventually, she was standing, she started swaying like this because she's so drunk. She's just holding on to her desk. She's so drunk. That's what this feels like. It's a drunken tirade about horror. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreadable. Like, that's how bad it is.
I mean, I remember reading it back in the day and thinking, like, this really just jumps from one thing to the next.
It's a worse conversation than my conversation skills, and that's saying something. It's rambling. It's just continuous drunken rambling.
Mixed with horrible movie opinions.
Oh yeah,
which there's that so has numerous. Never changed. He has stayed consistent with terrible movie takes.
Oh yeah, the big one is he prefers the remake of Last House on the Left to the original because it feels like a movie.
You know what stayed in my head, just because I'm a fan of it, the series, but not this one. In his afterword to Dr. Sleep, he's like, there's at least one actual great sequel to Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. And that's Psycho 4, The Beginning, made by my good friend Mick Garris.
Oh, God, yeah. So Stephen King's opinion on movies is just, he has an eclectic taste. That's a nice way of putting it. It's just bonkers. He just likes weird things. But then again, this is the guy who gave us Maximum Overdrive. So what do you expect?
If you want it to be done right, you have to do it yourself.
We will review that on this podcast. We have to.
Yeah.
We have to. That and the weird cat movie he did. Not Cat's Eye. The one with the werecats.
Mm-hmm. Sleepwalkers?
Yes! We have to talk about Sleepwalkers. Which I wish... I have talked to people, because this is more interesting than talking about Dance Macabre. I have talked to actual authors who want to write a novelization now for Sleepwalkers. But they can't get a hold of King. Because apparently he's really hard to get a hold of. Like, you can't get a hold of him directly at all. But, like, to get a hold of his, like, agent is really, really hard to do. But...
I think his agent also passed away like this year, so.
Oh.
That's going to make it extra hard.
Yeah, this was like a year or two ago. I was talking to, I won't say the author's name because I think it was in confidence that he wanted to write a Sleepwalkers novelization.
But that's a weird choice.
Yeah.
So do we just have to review all the movie adaptations where King wrote the screenplay? Because
yeah.
We're going to learn quickly that King is not a good screenplay writer.
Those are the two I really want to talk about. Because, quite frankly, I love the end of Sleepwalkers where all the cats just murder them. I don't like anything else about Sleepwalkers because there's just mutilated cats everywhere. And we all know I'm the cat man. I don't like seeing cats hurt. But the end of Sleepwalkers is one of the most incredible things if you love cats and you love stupid horror. It's just a wonderful pairing. And Maximum Overdrive is something really special.
Yeah. It has to be seen to be believed.
Uh-huh. And it got remastered not too long ago, which is even funnier. We'll probably have one of my friends from my childhood come on because he was obsessed with this movie for the longest time because we were both AC/DC fans and both Stephen King fans.
I think that's why my dad owned like the movie, because I swear I remember we owned the movie at one point, owned the remake.
There's a remake of Maximum Overdrive?
Yes, I think it's Canadian and it's called Trucks, like the short story.
I didn't know that.
Let me double check, but I'm pretty sure they did that.
Oh my gosh. This is more interesting than talking about Dance Macabre.
Yeah, because there isn't much to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trucks is a Canadian TV movie made in 1997.
Terrible. Then again, The Mangler's a franchise, and so is Children of the Corn, so.
Yeah.
They still make Children of the Corn movies.
Yeah, because they would lose the rights otherwise. And they really want to keep those rights. It's such a prestigious franchise.
Which is worse, Children of the Corn or as a franchise or Puppet Master as a franchise?
I mean, Puppet Master has a more funny premise. Like, that's at least something.
That's what I think, too. We can talk about my mom's opinions on Night Shift because she watched... My mother has never watched anything I have ever done for YouTube. And then I said, I'm reviewing Night Shift with Noah. And she's like, oh, I have to watch that because I want to read Night Shift.
Hmm.
And my mom used to be a big King fan when she was my age. But in her older age, she is more Hallmark than anything else. So she was mortified at pretty much most of the stories in Night Shift. She's like, none of them end well. That's the point. She really hated Lawnmower Man.
Understandable.
She, every time she brings up Night Shift, she's like, that Lawnmower Man story, it's so terrible. I'm like, I think it's supposed to be, Mom. Or she skipped the last story with, I can't remember what that one, the one where he kills his mother.
Yeah, the woman in the room.
Yeah, I told her to skip that because her father had just passed away. I was like, don't read that. Don't read that at all. But yeah, it was pretty. It's pretty funny. She now won't ever watch anything I do again. It's okay. It's okay. Do your parents watch your stuff, Noah?
Oh, God, no.
Noah's parents are like the nicest human beings. They were so nice to me, and I didn't speak a word of German. They didn't speak a word of English.
Yeah. That's why it worked so nicely.
I don't know. They seem really friendly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anything but talk about Dance Macabre.
I mean, we basically summed it up. It's just King drunkenly rambling on. And then the one chapter I remember that was like useful was him talking about the three pillars of like horror, which is Dracula, Frankenstein, and Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, which is in the beginning. Anything you need is in like the first like six chapters.
You have to skip like 24 words though.
Yeah, skip around the audiobook. I will say this: his childhood was fascinating. He talks about his childhood for a while, and I was like, okay, I'm in this. I just wanted an autobiography at that point. But I would want, I'll tell you what, Noah, I'd want an autobiography now from Stephen King.
Mm.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it.
No, because he already wrote one.
Well, he wrote as much as he wanted to of one. I don't think his opinions changed. He didn't. It's almost like he begrudgingly talked about his childhood. Mm-hmm. But he had to explain why he likes horror. And how much he likes Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I like that movie too. I think it's pretty fun. But him talking about all his dad's horror collection that he left when his dad abandoned them. Interesting stuff. All of his like family stuff, talking about radio. That was cool. There's like elements of stuff that's interesting, but it's just written so badly. And I get why this was such a popular book, because there wasn't anything like this at the time. So the bar is pretty flipping low.
Yeah. And from what I've heard, if I'm mistaken, the idea to do this was because he wrote his foreword to Night Shift, and that delves into the horror topic.
Better. And yes. A better.
Honestly, I'm just looking at it. There's like a list at the end of like movies he would recommend and books he would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all you need.
Yeah. You skip around. A lot of this is pretty skippable. If you're a hardcore fan, then yeah, read it. What is... A book that I found that came out a few years ago was called Sausages. It was by Janine Pipe, and it was about the making of Dog Soldiers. If you've ever heard of that one, that movie, Noah. It's no. kind of like Predator, but with werewolves. It's actually a pretty solid movie. She's a huge fan of it. I got sent a review copy and reviewed it. It's a fine book. But I kept thinking of this, that book when reading this, and how, although that gets really rambly and almost fangirlish at times, at least it's sober. So, yeah. Anyway, would you recommend Dance Macabre? No.
Not really. I'm just looking at the movie list. He recommends a bunch of Roger Corman movies.
That's oh, funny. He's a big Corman fan.
I can see that.
He likes the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to take into consideration, is his humor. More so than actual critical taste.
I'm surprised he's recommending The Exorcist, because I remember there's a line in this where he's like, William Peter Blatty stopped writing, hopefully forever.
Ooh!
That's, I
don't remember that.
That's a hot take.
William Peter Blatty was a great writer. He passed away recently.
Yeah.
But he was a real good writer. Have you ever read his stuff?
Oh, yeah, I read The Exorcist and...
Legion?
No, what's the other one called? The shorter one, the Ninth Configuration.
Oh, you read that. Okay. I've read Legion, which is the sequel to Exorcist, which is what Exorcist 3 is based off of.
That's the one I'm still missing. I don't think they have translated that to German even. So.
Yeah. Legion is really good. Mm-hmm. There's some really good dialogue in Legion.
I wonder if King dislikes him because obviously he writes about like belief and religion and stuff, but he's not preachy, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah. His only thing, that was his only thing when making The Exorcist, is it had to be in Georgetown, it had to be about faith, which Friedkin didn't like. Infamously, he wanted it to be open-ended. He wanted it to say, you can interpret it that evil wins or if good wins, and Blatty's like, no, good has to win. I don't know. We could talk about The Exorcist forever. It's a solid, solid story, solid movie.
And solid book.
Yeah. Yeah. Legion's also really good. I've never read Ninth Configuration.
It's crazy.
Didn't he try to make that into a movie?
I think he did. I think it is a movie.
Yeah, William Peter Blatty directed two movies. He directed Exorcist 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because Exorcist 2 was so horrid. He wanted to clear the air, and he wanted to clear the air on some stuff that they couldn't take from the first Exorcist book and put into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you've ever seen Exorcist 3.
Nope.
Only sequel you should watch of the Exorcist movies. It is a police procedural movie first and a horror movie second.
Sounds good. So you would recommend that over Exorcist Believer?
Yeah. I would. I don't know. I would recommend watching Exorcist II The Heretic because it's a fever dream movie. And it is the true sequel to Zardoz. Which everyone should watch Zardoz. If I'm coming back to paper movies, it's got to be Zardoz. We'll have Noah on. Talk about Zardoz. The movie Sean Connery left playing James Bond to do. Plays Zed the Exterminator run around in a red diaper. Have you never seen Zardoz?
I haven't. I know what Connery looks like in it.
You need to watch Zardoz. It is a John Borman, famous director of Deliverance, decided to make an art house movie, and it is fucking nonsense. Highly recommend Zardoz. It is the funniest movie I have ever seen in my life. It's not supposed to be funny, but it is. The only thing that came close, I watched Glenn Danzig's movie Veronica, which honestly, I'm shocked Stephen King didn't like rewrite Dance Macabre to recommend that nonsense. So that's right up his alley of trash. Though I think Veronica's, I think, a little too bad for Stephen King to like. Have you ever seen Veronica?
I've seen the RLM review.
Oh, amazing. That's all you need. Although it is, if you really want to go down that route and watch the whole thing, it is pretty funny. I was cackling. I think I saw that at the beginning of the pandemic. I think that's when it came out. I think it came out in 2020. Hmm. Or right before, and I just saw it in 2020. And then I saw he did a second movie, which was, he called it a spaghetti western.
What? Oh my god.
Yeah, no. Glenn Danzig made a vampire spaghetti western. It is barely, it's a western themed vampire movie.
How is it a spaghetti western? That would mean he filmed it like
in Italy and without a sound crew. That's what a spaghetti western is. The only thing it's got is the violence. He acts in it too.
Oh, okay. I'm looking that one up. Once you said spaghetti western, I'm sold. From Glenn Danzig.
Glenn Danzig, and the movie was so badly received, he turned off all comments on YouTube. Because he has full control of the Danzig YouTube channel, like with all his music videos on it and stuff.
Wow. Okay, let me check.
Yeah, because the only thing I think he's done since that flop was he made an Elvis cover album, which was terrible.
Death Rider in the House of Vampires. Is it this one?
Yes.
I mean, the poster looks kind of neat.
You gotta watch the trailer.
Okay. I'm saving this one. This is a great Dance Macabre discussion.
Hey, we're talking about horror.
It's fitting.
Yeah, that's a nonsense book. Anyway, we're going to be moving on to a lot better things.
Mm-hmm. I just want to remind people. Better things, yeah, we're going to talk about more of King's like actual fiction, like the fun books.
Yeah.
But we also, as Jeremy demands, we have to read Faithful. Stephen King's baseball book.
I think it's going to be better than this because he's going to be sober.
But it's about baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I will not understand anything if I can even get a hold of the book.
I'll send you a copy of the audiobook. You can listen to it. There is an audiobook for it.
Absolutely insane.
And we can mix that with Blockhead Billy, which I think came out at the same time, his novella.
Yeah, that was like roughly
The same time.
Ooh.
But we got two, before we get to Faithful, we have two writing books, like how to write fiction.
Yeah, On Writing and the sequel, Secret Windows, which I don't think I can get. That was like a book club exclusive thing.
There's an audiobook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one. You're right. That was a pain to get as a collector. But we also have the Gargoyle book, which I gave you a physical copy of.
That's got to be fun because it's not a whole book. It's one essay and then a bunch of pictures.
Oh, that's going to be fun to talk about. We have a bunch of fun little weird things. We got Creepshow. What's that?
Yeah, the Creepshow comic.
Yeah, the Creepshow comic, which I think we should just review the film too.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think it's still on Amazon Prime here in Germany, so that's perfect.
Well, I think they just got a new Blu-ray release of it. So that gives me an excuse to buy that.
We have Cycle of the Werewolf.
Oh, yeah, we got Cycle of the Werewolf. We got a couple really long things, like Talisman.
And which I reread already, so that's good.
You got the mentally long thing, which is Tommyknockers.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the stuff's short. Like, we got Running Man, Thinner, Cujo, first two Dark Tower books.
Pet Cemetery, Pet Christine Sematary. Is long. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Christine is long and weirdly written.
Yeah. Different seasons, but that's four short novellas. That's easy.
Skeleton Crew.
Short stories, again, that's manageable. And then yeah. We get to Eyes of the Dragon, Misery, short books, but It is
the behemoth, yes.
And then we end with Dark Half.
Yeah, Dark Half. And then we open with, I think next season is either Nightmares and Dreamscapes or Needful Things.
I think it is Needful Things. Okay. That's the start of the 90s.
Okay. And Wastelands. Wastelands is also.
Oh, yeah, that's after, I think. Yeah. 91.
Cool. That's kind of the plan. We'll see if we get through all the 80s this season. We might split it in half because there's so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at 1985 we stop. We'll see. We'll see. It depends on... It's 1986, right?
I'm double checking. I want to say it's 86 or 87. It is... 86, yeah.
That might be where we start next season. Because I kind of liked how short season one was.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, this has been a lot longer than it needed to be. This could have been 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of nonsense and us having fun. So that's what this is all about.
Yeah. In conclusion, don't read Danza Macabre or just read like
excerpts.
Good bits. Excerpts. Yeah.
Skip around. Some people will be like, you gotta read the whole thing. No, you don't. That's why we're here. This is why we're here. Read his childhood. Some of the stuff. The end where he recommends things. You should check that out. Some of his takes are horrible.
And it's confusingly written because he was literally drunk.
Uh-huh. Which some people might like because it's personable. I don't know. Anyway, don't recommend it. Join us next time as we review the classic Bachman, these early novels, mm-hmm. The Running Man. It's also the last time you get to see this book because it's the last story we haven't covered on this podcast. And we'll briefly talk about the Schwarzenegger movie.
And a remake coming up by Edgar Wright.
That's right. No pun intended. All right. Have a good one, everyone.
Goodbye.